And Lord, we pray for us as we come to hear your words now. Lord, may it speak to us today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to hear God's word read to us now from 2 Corinthians chapter 13.
Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful. Grow to maturity. Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with Christian love. All of God's people here send you their greetings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Amen.
Those last words that Mike read to us are very familiar to most of us. We speak so much about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So last week we looked at the blessing text from the book of Numbers about the Lord blessing us and keeping us and making his face to shine upon us. This week we look at this text. We'll be looking at other blessing texts in the next couple of weeks. God wants to bless his church. He wants his people to speak words of blessing to each other. And that's what we're seeking to do at the close of each of our services, that we want to send each other out in the grace of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of God, in the partnership or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are called to be. That's what we are called to do. It starts off by talking about grace. Grace is this amazing Christian idea. It's hard to find one modern word that sums up grace. I mean, the idea is getting what you haven't earned, getting what you haven't deserved. It's about receiving from somebody who is very generous. So we could just about translate it as, may the generosity of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us. We want to know his generosity in our lives. We want to speak that generosity to each other. And Paul, who wrote this letter that we read from, wrote many letters that happily have been preserved for us across the centuries. And grace is one of his major themes. It's a thing he just can't stop talking about. He opens and closes this letter talking about God's grace, God's generosity. He starts off, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and grace all being wonderfully got together. He says in this letter that when he does what he does, he relies not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. He talks about a grace that causes thanksgiving to overflow in people's lives. He urges us not to receive God's grace in vain. And he tells a story of how one day he was praying that God would change something in his life. And the Lord's reply to him was, my grace is sufficient for you. What you need, well, we might think we want a lot of things. There might be things that we think we need. But the thing that we need, the thing that is enough for our relationship with God and to enable us to live for God, is that God is a God of grace. He is a God of generosity. So we seek each week to bless each other with these words about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I might get this wrong, but I think Mike made a mistake in the Bible reading this morning, for which I do not blame him. Because when we read, we always read what we expect to see rather than what we actually do see. And I got a big shock this week when I started to study this text And I realized we've been saying it wrong all those years. Now, I have set several people the challenge of trying to work out what we've been saying wrong all of these years. And it's one little word, but I think that little word does matter. So can I say, there's nothing wrong with saying it as we say it. It's perfectly fine. It's perfectly correct. And I'm sure that we will go on saying it that way because it is good. But what we tend to say is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul actually wrote was the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just our Lord. He's not just Lord of this church or all of the churches in the world. He is Lord of everybody. He has authority and power over everything. So we're not just praying for sort of the grace of our boss or our master to come and to be with us. We're praying for the grace of the Lord of the whole of creation. That is our gospel. As Paul puts it in this same letter, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. The earliest Christian message, God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and has given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When we are calling upon him to give us grace, we are calling upon the one who has authority to do so. His grace is real. And it's a grace that we read about as we seek to understand Jesus and we read the Gospels together. We discover what this grace looks like. We read the other bits of what we call the New Testament, the letters of Paul, the other letters. And they speak to us, grace, grace, grace. That is our gospel. God is generous. God is full of grace towards each one of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see those phrases coming together again? Grace, Lord, Jesus Christ. They all go together. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ brings us riches more than we could ever know. They draw us towards the heart of God. I love that song that we were singing a moment ago. He pulls me close with nail-scarred hands into his everlasting arms. That's what it means to be a believer in Jesus, the one who was equal with God, as we said at the start of the service, but was prepared to become nothing, prepared to become a servant for us, who entered into our experiences, who entered into our death, who rose again and lives, is declared to be Lord and Messiah, or Lord and Christ, and today pours out his grace on me and you and anyone who is prepared to receive that grace. We have an incredible gospel. And because we receive that grace, as Paul puts it earlier on in this letter, we make it our aim to please him. That's what we want to do. Going to be voting later on. Vote whichever way you think will please Jesus. And if somebody else thinks differently to you, by all means disagree, by all means think it matters that you disagree. But let's respect each other. And let's respect each other that we all want to please this Lord who has been gracious towards us. I don't often quote Baptist Union stuff, but today I'm going to. The Baptist Union Declaration of Principle. This is what Baptist churches sign up to when they become members of the Baptist Union of Great Britain. That our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, is the sole and absolute authority in all matters pertaining to faith and practice, as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And each church has liberty, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to interpret and administer his laws. That's a long sentence, but it talks about Jesus being Lord. It talks about him having absolute authority, this one who pours out his grace on us. This one who died on the cross for us, not holding our sins against us. This one who teaches us to forgive. This one is the one who has absolute authority within the church. And he is the one who is revealed in the scriptures. One of the things that Paul has a right go at the Corinthians, the people he writes this letter to, for doing, is he says that other people have come along and they are preaching a different Jesus, bringing them a different gospel, coming in a different spirit. And Paul says to them, you're accepting it, and you shouldn't be. Being a Christian is about following Jesus. Being a Christian is about saying, I've received this incredible grace. I have been welcomed into his family. And I know that one day I must appear, as Paul puts it in this letter, before his judgment seat. One day I will be there. One day we will all be there. And the best strategy to face that day is to seek to do what pleases him. This isn't about going to heaven or hell or anything about like that. It's about us being accountable for what we've done. And we will receive rewards, the Bible says, for what we have done. It therefore follows that we have to be, keen, enthusiastic, to actually see how the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ works. Really to get to know Jesus, really to understand the things that he is saying. What made him happy? Because what made him happy down here will make him happy on the final day. What made him angry? Because what made him angry down here is what will make him angry up there. No time, it's not the right place this morning to go through that in detail. But our aim as a church is to grow into the mind of Christ. It is to have our minds renewed from his thinking, that they change ours. And the best way to start or to continue in that way of thinking is that we should pray the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ on each one of us. That we should really grasp that incredible grace. That we do not get our salvation by what we do. That we do not earn our salvation. But we get it because Jesus died on the cross. We get it because Jesus rose to life again. And we get it because he says, come to me. And I will share my life with you. It's what baptism is about. Sharing in the death of Christ so that we can share in his resurrection. And if that sounds complicated or difficult, yes, people write huge books about it. But the testimony of Christians is it works. The testimony is that being linked up to the resurrection life of Jesus is simply one of the most amazing things that we could ever experience. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, we bless each other in the love of God. And the Christian life is an adventure in discovering how wonderful this love of God is. We love him. And that love was the love that was expressed in Jesus, because Jesus reveals God to us. when Paul is explaining to these people why he does what he does, he says to them, the love of Christ, the love of Christ is the love of God revealed in Christ, the love of Christ compels us. He says, I have been so overwhelmed by God's love that actually I've got very little choice in what I do. We grow as Christians by encountering this love. We grow as Christians by being overwhelmed by that love again and again and again. We are told to excel in love. Paul writes the verses that we read this morning, the God of love and peace be with you. The writings of the early church have so much to say about love, that the person who loves their neighbor as they love themselves has fulfilled the whole of the law. They've done everything that God requires of them. The New Testament says that we can have all sorts of things. We can have all sorts of spiritual gifts. We can do all sorts of things. But if we are love, if we have not love, we're nothing. We're useless. Because love is everything as far as God is concerned. The Bible talks about the sheer vastness of God's love. Here is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave his son for us. The Bible says that on the day of judgment, we will have confidence because the love of God is in us. If the love of God is shaping you, if the love of God is changing you, if you've been overwhelmed by the love of God and you're saying, Lord, I'm going to let that change me. I'm going to allow your Holy Spirit to work in my life and make me something different to what I was. Then on the day of judgment, you'll be able to go in and be confident because God's love was at work within you and you experienced it and you gave it away. And you will, like the prodigal son to the father, run home into the embrace of our incredible God. That's why we make it our aim to please him. Because we want to live in the love of God. We want to know the love of God. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, or the partnership of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Being a Christian believer is not just about learning something from a book. The book is important. It matters. We need to study the book. But Paul writes this, this is in the same letter as the bit we read, that God puts his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He says, God, it's like God is writing a letter in us with the spirit of the living God. The spirit, Paul says in this letter, gives life. The letter of the text without the spirit kills, but with the spirit it brings life to us. He tells us that the ministry of the Spirit is glorious. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, he says in this letter, there is freedom. He writes about us being transformed to be like the Lord as we gaze upon the Lord. And he says that this transformation comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And so Paul says it is our job to purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. And then at the end of this letter, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God has called us in partnership together. He's called us that we should be full of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost is coming up soon. When the Holy Spirit came upon a group of believers, and it had an impact that still rocks through the world today. So whatever we do today, let's seek to bless one another. Let's say to one another, and I have asked John for today to change the word from our to the on the screen when it comes up. Because I want today us to bless one another with authority. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord who is Lord over absolutely everything. And to speak to one another of the love of God. To speak to one another of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.